The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Todd, you need to let it go, man. Let it go. I stepped on a lot of people, okay? You don't always single yourself out like you're, you know, you're the most important person. Okay, this is the Eric Metaxas Show, and as you know, it's the show about everything, which means I get to talk on all kinds of interesting subjects, some which are more newsy than others. Today, I get to talk with my friend Alan Sears of ADF, Alliance Defending Freedom, about things that are eternally, everlastingly important, but that are also tremendously newsworthy. Alan Sears, one of my heroes, welcome to the Eric Metaxas Show.
Eric, it's great to be with you.
I got to tell you, it's hard to know where to start because it's such a big issue. The big issue, in case people are wondering, what are you talking about, Eric? We're talking about religious liberty. One of the biggest issues in my life about 10 years ago, I don't think I even had a clue what it was. I'm not kidding. And it was always Chuck Colson always talking about religious liberty, our mutual friend Chuck Colson. And I finally got it. It's all through my Bonhoeffer book. And since then, I can't stop talking about it because it's under threat.
Well, it's everywhere always. And when we talk about religious freedom, of course, one of the key parts of that, Eric, which you've covered really well in your books, is the right of conscience. The right of people to form and follow their conscience, now, not only in their private place, but in the public life.
Okay, so this is at the heart of liberty itself. So when people even talk about religious liberty, I almost feel like there's a little bit of a misnomer because what you do is you make it sound religious. No, it's about conscience. Every atheist needs to have what we call, what the founders called religious liberty, which means total freedom to believe or not believe as he sees fit. But before we get into this big subject, you, my friend, Alan Sears, I want to give you a chance to explain to the audience who you are. Alliance Defending Freedom is a tremendous organization that pretty much pro bono defends important cases of religious liberty in the United States of America, correct?
Well, yeah, it's a miracle. Back in 1993, 35 different religious leaders came together and said, we've got a crisis. And we need to do something far more than we've done in the faith community. And they came together. They asked me to launch this thing. And they had three areas they looked at: religious freedom, sanctity of life, and family, and the law that related to those, the cases. And we launched. And here we are in 2017.
Okay, so you founded this sucker, as I like to call it. You founded the Alliance Defending Freedom. What was it called before it was called Alliance Defending Freedom?
We started out as Alliance Defense Fund. And the reason was one of our founders was a guy named Larry Burkett, who some of your listeners would remember, who at that time led a large ministry called Christian Financial Concepts.
Right.
And Larry had the idea, along with Bill Bright, Dr. James Dobson, and others, that there had to be, among the 1.1 million lawyers in America, a lot of men and women who loved Christ, who loved freedom, and who would do something to defend it if they had financing, training, and support to go into that work.
Okay. So Alliance Defending Freedom became the Alliance Defense Fund became the Alliance Defending Freedom. Okay. But you founded this. So you've been a lawyer your whole adult life. At what point did you think you would transition?
My wife questions if I've entered my adult life yet.
If you've entered your – well, but that's the job of wives to do. So you don't blame her. She's doing her job. But the question is, at what point did you realize I'm not just a lawyer? I'm a lawyer that's really interested in this to the point that I would found – this organization.
Well, you know, interesting how God walks you along different paths. And when I was in law school, frankly, I knew what I was being taught about the Constitution and issues that we're going to talk about today was wrong. I knew what I was being taught was not
accurate. Where'd you go to law school?
Brandeis School of Law, which is University of Louisville.
Think of the irony, named after one of the great jurists, you know, in American history.
And, you know, along the path, They talked to us about the thing called the Living, Breathing Constitution. The fact that, in fact—
It's also called the Rorschach Blot Constitution.
That would be an understatement, Eric.
Yeah.
And the funny thing is, and I knew something was wrong, when I got my constitutional law textbook, which I paid a lot of money to buy, there was not a copy of the Constitution. And I actually asked my professor a couple of days after the class started when we were going to actually look at the Constitution, and he gave me the best line of all. He quoted one of the former Supreme Court justices and said, "The Constitution, why would we look at that? The Constitution is what the courts say it is." And that was the attitude of what I was taught in law school.
Now, what the irony, though, is that technically that's true, right? In other words, technically— the job of the court is to make sure that every law in the United States of America hews to the constitutional standard, that it is in fact constitutional.
That is correct. But if you can change the goalpost, if you can change the meaning of the Constitution.
Well, that's the point.
That's the problem that we had. And I knew this was wrong, but I didn't know why it was wrong. I'd been a little bit of a history student. I'd majored in history and undergraduate.
And where'd you go to school undergraduate?
University of Kentucky.
Now, were you – I know you're a Kentucky boy. I forgot about that. You mentioned it the other night. Were you raised in a family of any kind of sincere faith?
Yes. My mother and father loved Christ. They were very active in their church. They took me down the right path and everything parents can do. Any failures and sin along the way were not my parents' fault.
Okay. Well, I want to make clear, too, we've got a lot of listeners who are not Christians. And the funny thing is that this is part of the irony and the tragedy of where we are in a nation, in this nation today, is that it tends to be mostly people of serious faith that are serious about the Constitution and are serious about the issue of religious liberty. That is bad. In other words, the whole point
is bad.
Every American ought to care about this. Every atheist ought to care about this. But right now, we're in this strange position where people of faith typically are the ones that are big on this. I want to mention, by the way, part of the reason we're sitting here talking today is the other day, which is to say last weekend, you were honored by the Colson Center in Washington, D.C., with the annual Wilberforce, the coveted, the prestigious Wilberforce Award, which is annually given to someone who has lived out the principles of William Wilberforce. You know, people think that I'm the Wilberforce expert. I didn't even know about Wilberforce until I heard about him from our friends Oz Guinness and Chuck Colson. When Chuck Colson had this Wilberforce Award, that was before I knew anything about Wilberforce. And so so we were there together, and I got to hear some of what you and the Alliance Defending Freedom are doing. And, you know, I sat there in my seat, as often happens to me, and I said, for the love of Mike, I got to get this guy on my program. Now, I've known you for a long time, but I just said, the next time you're in New York, some of the things you shared from the podium the other day when you got the award, I said, I want my audience to hear this, because most people, they're busy, and they're really not aware of how bad things are with regard to the erosion of religious liberty and the erosion of the understanding of the Constitution according to the quote-unquote courts and stuff. So I just wanted to give this some context that I heard you give a few concrete examples, and I said, I have got to get you to tell my audience about the stuff you've been working on, because this is – people wouldn't believe it unless they're going to hear it from your mouth.
Well, again, Eric, as I talked about the other night, religious liberty and the right of conscience are the foundation of all other liberties. John Paul II, who many of your listeners, religious or non-religious, remember.
Wasn't he Pope at some point?
Yeah, Pope at some point. John Paul lived under first the takeover by the Nazis,
yeah,
and then the takeover by the communists.
Right.
He survived both,
yeah,
and he saw where totalitarian forms of government can take us.
Yeah.
And in his stand, his opposition,
right,
he learned that no liberty is safe if our right to form and follow our conscience, which we'll talk about later, is not free.
Well, see, this is what's interesting, and this is what we've got to – I want my audience at least to understand this, because most Americans don't get this. Religious liberty, as I said earlier, it's almost a misnomer, because it implies that it's only for religious people. It is a concept which is at the very heart of all liberty. So if you care about any liberty in any real sense, you've got to care about what the founders called religious liberty, because it is about freedom of conscience, that the state cannot tell you how to think, how to behave unless it breaks big laws. We're going to be right back with Alan Sears, the Alliance Defending Freedom. This is the Eric Metaxas Show, MetaxasTalk.com. Hey there, folks. It's the Eric Metaxas Show. I am talking to Alan Sears, the head, the founder of the Alliance Defending Freedom, who have heroically for more than two decades now been defending religious liberty in America. It is under attack, alas, and alack. Didn't mean that to rhyme. But Alan, the other day at the Wilberforce Awards dinner, the Wilberforce weekend, which our dear friend John Stone Street puts on every year with the Colson Center, you were mentioning a few specifics.
Yeah, let's talk about some.
And when I heard them, I said, I know that a lot of people, they've heard a little bit, but people in America need to understand where we are and the fact that it actually takes top-notch lawyers to battle what ought to be super basic. Any fool ought to understand that this is right and this is wrong. But right now we need top-notch lawyers such as you have at ADF and they've got at the Beckett Fund. Otherwise, insanity would take over.
Well, let's take these conscience cases and bring them down to practical explanation for a moment. First of all, everybody remembers back at the time of the inaugural of President Trump. There were a number of dress designers who came out publicly from New York and other areas who said, we will not design a gown for Melania Trump.
Right.
We disagree with the politics,
right,
and it's our right to say no. A group of poets, by the way, none of whom are asked to give a poet, but a group of poets said, we will not write or read poetry
right
at the presidential inaugural.
Wasn't that brave of them?
Which dates all the way
back.
In these
totalitarian times that they would dare speak up. Amazing.
But they were celebrated in most of the media, including
right
your New York media,
right,
Eric.
Right.
But
it's not mine, but thank you.
But across the – well, we'll give you credit because you stay in the city. But across the nation, there are people who exercise exactly the same thing that these poets and these dress designers were celebrated for that are being threatened with literally, not figuratively – jail time and massive fines and take their business being
now,
taken away.
I just want to be clear. The point you're making, in case anybody has missed it, is that every American has the right to refuse to do X, Y, or Z. So when a dress designer or a poet or anybody says, I don't want to do this, I, Eric Metaxas, don't need to agree with them, but I need to agree with the principle that they have every right to do that as an American.
Well, back in the spring of 1789, right here down by Wall Street.
Actually, very
hall,
close. You could almost throw a stone and hit it.
James Madison introduced what became known as the First Amendment. And in his discussions about this, he said that conscience is the most sacred of all property rights. It's a natural law. It's for all people in all times and places. But he said we need to inscribe this into the American law in the Constitution.
Okay, now this was 2 years after the Constitution was written. So he said, let's start something called the Bill of Rights. Is that how it began?
Actually, it gets too much detail, but a Baptist pastor in Virginia named John Leland told James Madison, we're going to run against you for Congress. We're going to take you out if you don't do something to protect the rights. Because all of these guys remembered over in Europe, where most of their families had fled from, there had been a very deliberate series of actions in different countries taking away the rights of people of faith and people not of faith to exercise freedom of religion, freedom of conscience. So let's fast forward. I talked about the fact that the media here celebrated these designers and these poets, but let's take a case in Phoenix, Arizona. I happen to live outside of Phoenix, and there the city of Phoenix, in its great wisdom, said that we're going to expand our codes on things that prohibit discrimination. And anyone who violates this code, which I'll talk about in a moment, will be fined up to $2,500 per day and sent to prison, for up to 6 months per day.
Per day
for every
that they
day
violate
that
this.
They refuse to submit. There is a calligrapher and a young artist who design all sorts of original items to celebrate weddings, births,
okay, all sorts so this, of events. So this is not a hamburger flipper. This is an artist using her talents
it's two
to creatively create something. So they're not selling widgets. They're doing something that comes out of their heart and soul.
It's original stuff. These right. two dear young women, as I say, one a calligrapher and one an artist in every sense of the word, create original art items to announce, to celebrate, to post, etc., about various events for people.
Right.
They are challenging this ordinance because if they lose, if the city of Phoenix says you must do these for things you oppose, which could include forms of marriage that they don't recognize
I'm always annotating and interrupting, but I want to be clear. Let's say somebody goes to this calligrapher and this artist and says, I like Hitler. Okay. Now, by the way, in America, it's everybody's right to love Hitler or to do any stupid thing they want to do. It's your right as an American to be an idiot. Okay. So let's say some idiot goes to these people and says, I would like you to design a pro-Hitler invitation. I'm having a party with my pro-Hitler friends, and I really want it to be wonderful. I will pay you. And then these people say, excuse me, we don't agree with that. We can't do that. We're sorry, but we're not going to do it, right? Everybody in America would say, hats off to them. Thank you for not doing that, for a couple of bucks selling your soul to do a pro-Hitler thing. So we all agree they have the right to do that.
But
if it's a same-sex wedding and somebody says to them,
celebration of various types of sexual activity or things that they don't approve of in their faith, things that violate their conscience,
right.
They are facing the possibility of 6 months in jail for every day they won't bow down.
I guess I'm just wondering, are people now going to say that I compared same-sex weddings to Adolf Hitler? The point was that we each have a conscience. We each have a sense of what's right and wrong. So you're telling me that if a same-sex couple goes to this calligrapher and says, we want you to do this, and the calligrapher says, listen, you are wonderful people. I have known you for years, but my conscience says to me, I just can't do this, and I'm sorry. Please find another calligrapher. You're saying under this ordinance, this calligrapher would be totally put out of business because the Christian faith of the calligrapher would say, I can't do this. And the government says, oh, yeah, you can do it and you will do it. And if you don't do it, every single day you refuse, 6 months prison.
Exactly. And let's go a little further. The Jewish religion of the calligrapher, the non-religion of the calligrapher, it doesn't actually matter what the faith basis of the calligrapher and the artist are. What matters is they have a conscience and they opt out. Now, interestingly, on your example there, Eric, in Lexington, Kentucky, there is a T-shirt designer named Blaine Adamson. He had a company called Hands on Originals. Well, he still has the company, 35 employees. Their biggest client was the University of Kentucky. They are so gifted at their original designs that people come from all over the country to ask for their work. A guy came in and asked him to do a thing for a horror movie. He said no. Horror movie. He said no, I won't do it. Some people came in for a sexually oriented business. I guess people would call them strip joints, whatever, different labels. He said, I won't do it. 9 times he told people, these things you're asking me to do violate my conscience. I will not do them. No problem. But then 2 men came in and said, we want you to design a T-shirt that will promote our gay pride event, our parade. He said no, as he had said 9 prior times. And those individuals ultimately resulted in a case being brought before the so-called Human Rights Commission.
Yeah, I didn't even know these things existed. This is like out of a novel. Rights Commission.
He is prosecuted. He's subjected to possibilities of massive fines. He's harassed in the media. You know, all the people who celebrated the Melania saying no, of course, went against this guy. He lost clients. He lost the University of Kentucky. Interesting.
Now, wait. He lost the University of Kentucky. That's got to be a lot of money to his
business.
That's
a lot of business.
Because he's making T-shirts for the entire university. What is the name of this man's business?
Hands-on Originals. Now, a little side story. Among the employees, team members of Blaine's business, were a couple of people who identify as homosexual.
Right.
They came to his defense.
Right.
They said, we have worked for this guy. His Christian faith is real. The way he treats us, though we radically disagree, is wonderful. But now he is subjected to this. I'll tell you the good news. Fast forward, we have won his case in the Court of Appeals of Kentucky, And the Human Rights Commission, as they call themselves, is now considering whether or not to appeal that case.
Unbelievable. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have 10 cents in your pocket, I think you should send it to the Alliance Defending Freedom. Honestly, you guys are heroes, Alan. And by the way, if you need a t-shirt, why not go to Hands On Originals? I think maybe they could use your business. Hands On Originals. Bless those people for their taking a stand. We'll be right back. Hey there, folks. That's the great Bobby Sherman. All the young people are screaming, we want more Bobby Sherman, Bobby Sherman. So I said, all right, we'll play some Bobby Sherman today. Now I'm talking to the founder and the head of the Alliance Defending Freedom. You guys are heroes. Alan Sears, most recent recipient of the William Wilberforce Award given by the Colson Center for Christian Worldview. Just a joy to have you here and a joy to explain to my audience where we are as a nation. What you just said about Kentucky and these T-shirts. The thing is, and this is what I always try to talk about, it's the principles. I want Americans to understand the principles, because if you understand the principles, you realize this is not a Christian thing. This is an American thing. In fact, I go even farther. It's not an American thing. It's a human thing. The right to conscience, the right to say no to something, right? You were talking about...
As you say, this is universal.
This is universal.
This is what the Nazis wanted to stamp out. This is what the communists wanted to stamp out. This is what's all the way back to ancient Rome, what the Caesars wanted to step out. The issue is whether or not people are allowed to say no,
right,
to participation in things that violate their conscience, or to say yes to things that they're compelled to do.
Okay, so to give another example, let's say I'm an atheist. I have been really, really hurt by the church. I have a bakery. And somebody comes to me and says, I want you to make a big cake that says Jesus is Lord, okay? I, as an atheist who've been hurt by the church, should have every right by law to say, no, I don't want to make that cake. Now imagine if the government stepped in and said to the atheist, hey, Mr. Atheist, you better make that Christian cake or we will fine you, we will put you in jail, we'll put you out of business. Most Americans, I think, would agree that's not right. It is not the right of the government to force an atheist to violate his conscience. So when we're talking about quote unquote religious liberty, we're talking about the right of atheists, agnostics, and people of faith.
The right to be not religious.
To be whatever they want to be. To some extent. In other words, if I want to bake a cake about bombing the White House or something, that's another story. In other words, there are lines where the government says your religious liberty doesn't extend that far. And that's exactly what we're battling in the courts because of you and Alliance Defending Freedom. We're trying to figure out where that line is.
All right,
is.
Well, let's actually in the what you might call the you can't make it up department, which actually most of the cases I can talk to you about fit. In Colorado, a guy named Jack Phillips has a Masterpiece Cakes. He is a cake artist. I didn't even know there was such a thing until my daughter showed me the reality TV show.
Cake Boss.
Yeah.
They cheat by making everything with fondant. Never mind. We won't go into that. Go ahead.
So anyway, Jack Phillips has this wonderful business. He is just a tremendous pillar of the community. And he says... when a couple guys come in, they want a cake for their so-called same-sex wedding, and he says, I have a conscience. My understanding, faith-wise, is marriage is between a man and a woman.
My backward religious upbringing makes me say I'm not into this.
And so with all due respect, he says very courteously, I can't do it. Well, of course, guess who? He's taken again before one of these so-called human rights commissions in Colorado.
And these are funded by taxpayer dollars, human rights commissions.
They're your dollars at work. I'll make a side comment. If you help Alliance Defending Freedom, you get to fund both sides of these cases.
Yeah.
Because you're already paying for one side.
Isn't that amazing?
But anyway, Jack, his case right now is sitting before the United States Supreme Court, where 13 times it's been on the Supreme Court's docket for conference. We are hoping and praying the court will grant review and help set a national precedent understanding in this area. But now let's take your example. During this case is prosecution and pendency in Colorado, some faith-based people went to bakeries and asked the bakers to do cakes that had Bible verses and other things opposing a redefinition of marriage, opposing same-sex marriage.
Right.
The bakers all said no, so they gave notice to the Human Rights Commission. Hey, They're saying, no, this is our faith, and the Human Rights Commission took no action. So it's not just persecution of a guy like Jack Phillips. It is a total double standard, as my children call that in their texting code, TDS, a total double standard.
Well, I mean, again, if you care, what we're really talking about is the ground of all being. Is there such a thing as fairness? Is there such a thing as truth? Do we have the ability to say merely, I want to win? Or do we have the ability to say, I want to win, but I want a fair level playing field? In other words, I want people to have the same rights that I have.
Well, actually, that's all we're asking for in these cases on behalf of our clients at Alliance Defending Freedom, because as we talked in an earlier segment, if people weren't listening, I talked about how people celebrated poets and dress designers who said no to Melania Trump, no to the inaugural participation,
right,
even though they weren't asked.
Right.
And people said, that's wonderful. That's your right of conscience.
Yeah.
But all these other artists, the floral designer, the T-shirt designer, the calligraphist, the graphic artist, they're all told you don't have the same right.
Yeah.
And you and we're going to have completely different rules for
yeah.
you when it enters into the areas of our political standards.
Well, this is and this is what it boils down to. If you're progressive or liberal and you want people to take your view seriously, you've got to play fair. If you don't play fair, people know that they shouldn't take you seriously. So this is a call to people who identify with the ACLU and other organizations like that. You've got to be fair to both sides. If you feel like you don't need to be fair to both sides, you better think about why, because the founders and you know, most Americans, I think, would disagree with you. We'll be right back. It's the Eric Metaxas Show. Hey, folks, it's the Eric Metaxas Show. I am talking to the head of the Alliance Defending Freedom, Alan Sears. Alan Sears, the stuff we're talking about, you can't make it up. You don't need to make it up, because unfortunately, it's actually happening.
It's actually happening.
Now, you were talking about a number of cases. I don't know if you had another one. I want to talk about the fire chief at some point, but we don't need to go into that right. Say whatever you wanted to say.
Well, I was just going to say, you know, my mother is 90 years old, and we're very good friends. And this all started a few years ago. I wrote a monthly letter I would send out to tell people about the cases Alliance Defending Freedom was involved. And she would, from time to time, call me or send me an email. She'd say, Alan, this can't be all real. You must be exaggerating, whatever. And I wrote back, Mom, you can't make it up. I don't have enough imagination to come up with the ways people can discriminate, the ways courts can reconstruct the law. So actually, for the last 10 years, my life has been really in a file drawer called You Can't Make It Up.
Well, when you mentioned the thing about the Christians who said, let's try this out. So let's ask bakers to create cakes with Bible verses and things. And the bakers said no, right? I think we ought to have more of that kind of pushback. In other words, during the civil rights era in America, Christians, who typically were African Americans, they understood that they needed to push back and that they needed to challenge the courts. And so they did so with Rosa Parks. I've written about her, of course, in my Seven Women book. But I mean, this was a calculated challenge. They said, this is a woman who's an upstanding citizen. Let's use her as a test case. Gay activists have done this quite a bit. I think on the more traditional side of things, we have failed to do this, and we ought to do this kind of thing more. We ought to test the law, push the law.
Yeah, there's something about the makeup of people who are serious about their Christian faith where they resist that concept.
Yeah, and you know why? Because they're wrong. Because they're theologically – they are. They're theologically wrong.
Well, you know, sorry
to clear that up.
Well, this will actually sound pretty negative, but I have this thing also called the conehead theory. Does anybody remember the Coneheads, the old Saturday Night Live, the great movie and all the different things? It's one of my favorites. But – whenever I talk to people in groups or I speak and I talk about the people involved in these kind of cases, there's always this sort of question that comes up pretty early. It's like the third question from the audience. And it's like, now, the person you just described, the artist who is being persecuted, the cake, the florist, whatever they might be, what's the real story behind them? Because we know that normal Christian people who are just minding their own business, doing their own thing, would never have these kind of things happen.
Right.
So therefore, The presumption is they're coneheads.
They're weird. They're religious freaks.
They're nuts. And so one of the things that we have really worked hard in these cases now is to tell the story. If you go to the Alliance Defending Freedom website, you can watch any length of video you want, from a minute or so to 8, 9, 20-minute videos with interviews and stories
with
these clients.
And what's the website?
It's real simple. It's adflegal.org.
Adflegal.org. Okay.
And adflegal.org. Any matter, any case we talk about here, you can see not only a video, you can also click on links and see every legal pleading filed in federal court at every stage about these. So if you want to fact check anything Alan's here it's right there to look at. And this is a crazy issue of trying to help people understand that these are not people who went out seeking trouble. They were living their normal life, and then, boom, the trouble walks in their door and comes after them. And then that person has to make a choice.
Right.
They actually have to draw a line in their soul where they say, this is a line I cannot cross and continue to be me. So when we talk about conscience, Eric, we're talking about the essence of you.
Right.
The thing that makes you you more than anything else are those values that you hold and your adherence to them. And when you step away from those truths, you actually lose a great deal of your personality, of yourself.
Well,
whether you're religious or not, whether you're a person of faith, whatever your belief is, if your God is a water bottle,
The point is that you, as an American, you've got the right to be crazy to some extent. It's not the government's job to say, well, you can't believe that, or that's not the government's job.
And we need to understand. We fear a government that can tell you what is appropriate to believe.
We only fear that government. But the point is that we've all been brainwashed in the last 50 years that the thing that we need to worry about is some kind of theocracy, that Pat Robertson and the religious right are going to take over and they're going to impose their values. And so you hear that over and over and over again. So people actually think, with things like The Handmaid's Tale, like that's what's going to happen. Irony of ironies, ladies and gentlemen, precisely the opposite is happening. You have a secular government forcing secularism down the throats of your average American.
The catechism of the politically correct, which you will not disagree with or disobey in any cost in public, because you will be punished. The thing about these conscience cases and the cost that's being extracted now from these artists and these creative people involved in expression is an incredibly high cost, because actually I mentioned Phoenix, 6 months in jail per day that you won't create the stuff that violates your conscience. Up in Wisconsin and Minnesota, they've passed some similar ordinances that affect videographers. There's a couple there that make videos on many topics, not just religious Christian stuff, and they are now subject to a similar kind of penalty.
Yeah.
They actually face jail if they decline to create a script and create a film to advocate a position.
And what does this bring up in my mind? It's the famous thing that if you do not speak up now, and I remember, again, 10 years ago, I was like, well, Chuck Colson, he's got this covered. I don't need to be involved, right? The reality is that every American needs to be involved in this. Every single American needs to understand, if you don't speak up now, eventually it's going to happen to you and there'll be nobody left to speak up. I promise you, folks, we're at a point where if you don't take this seriously, you'll have no one to blame but yourself. So I'm doing all I can to educate people on this, but you better take it seriously because it's coming to you. So we all need to stand up together. We'll be right back. I'm talking to Alan Sears of the Alliance Defending Freedom. It's the Eric Metaxas Show, MetaxasTalk.com. Hey there, folks. It's the Eric Metaxas Show. Hey, before I continue my conversation with the great Alan Sears of the Alliance Defending Freedom, and I want to mention that we are doing a special thing with Hillsdale College. Have you heard of Hillsdale? Yes, you have. Hillsdale College is offering a free online college course on American history. Obviously, if you're getting American history from Larry Arnn, the president of Hillsdale, you're actually getting American history. You're not getting, weird anti-American American history, which is typically what you'll get in many colleges across America. Sorry to tell you. So go to MetaxasTalk.com. You can see the Hillsdale banner. Click on it. Just watch the 2-minute trailer and you'll be convinced. This is great for homeschools, for whatever group you're a part of. Did I mention it's free? Yeah, it's free, and it's a real college course. You'll see, but it's so fascinating. I didn't want to forget to mention that. All right, Alan Sears, we just have a few minutes left in this hour. I'm going to hold you over the next hour. We've locked the doors.
And I'm going to help you advertise Hillsdale's course because my 90-year-old mother is taking that course.
Get out.
She loves it. She said, you know, she's been a history student all of her life. She had a good, sound college education as a young girl, but she says this is the best stuff she's ever had.
Now, listen, when you're, it's nice to hear that people are taking courses, but when your mother, you know, finally gets this college degree, she needs to get a job. You know what I'm saying? People can just stay in college forever. She needs to get serious and get a job, right or wrong.
Absolutely.
Okay.
I'll talk
right.
to her about
just,
it.
Just tell her to I'll keep her, to I'll, keep I'll, her eye on the prize because you know what? You can get overeducated. It's useless unless you can get a job. Please tell your mother. 90 years old or it doesn't matter. Okay. So we just got a few minutes left. In our second hour with you, I want to talk about our friend in Atlanta, the fire chief in Atlanta, Kelvin Cochran.
Kelvin Cochran was the most celebrated, the most decorated fire chief in the United States, recognized as the fire chief of the year by the Fire Chiefs Association,
yeah.
covered their magazine, selected by President Barack Obama to be the fire administrator of the United States, unanimously confirmed by the United States Senate.
Yeah.
He left that job early to go back to Atlanta, where he had been the revered fire chief at the request of the mayor, and then brutally fired because he wrote a Bible study book for his private Bible study at his private and own church.
Yeah, and he dared to put forth a biblical view of sexuality.
Can you imagine
his,
such yeah. a thing at
Can
a
you
church?
Imagine an African-American from Atlanta daring to be a Christian?
In a Baptist church.
Isn't that incredible? How dare he? It's just so wrong. Well, anyway, so I met him. I had him on this program, actually, some months ago. And he was at the event, the Chuck Colson event the other night. And you spoke about his story. He spoke about his story. But this man is just such a hero. When you hear him speak, you just go, wow, that's a leader. That's an amazing man. So the idea that this guy got fired tells you everything you need to know.
Well, this,
people
this
are
actually,
crazy.
Well, this tells you that if this guy with this incredible record, who when he was suspended, by the way, he had gotten permission before he wrote the book. He wrote it and, on his own time, published it at his own expense. And it was a year after he published it that this trouble came.
Yeah.
He was suspended. When they investigated him, what did they find? No evidence of discrimination in the workplace ever, but yet fired.
Yeah. He's a true hero, an amazing leader. Just when you hear him talk the other night, I thought, wow, this is actually somebody.
This is actually the kind of person you want to be the father in your family.
Oh,
you want to have as your
yeah,
uncle.
You beg that these guys. Anyway, we're out of time in this hour. We will have a second hour. I don't know if it's today, but very, very soon with Alan Sears. Alan Sears of the Alliance Defending Freedom. Thank you for being my guest.
It's a great thing to be with you, Eric.
This is great. Folks, go to MetaxasTalk.com. Send these podcasts to your friends, please. Thank you.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.